This morning, I would like to speak to you a little further about the things that are on my heart and probably will be on my heart till Jesus comes. Starting as a start-off point, we'd started in Hebrews, gone to Timothy, where God in Hebrews, first chapter, 10th to the 12th verses, speaks of the final folding up of the "He shall roll the heavens and the earth up like a scroll. The heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. And the day will come when righteousness shall dwell upon the earth. But it will not be established by man. It will not be brought to pass by man. Man is a sinner. And everything he touches, he contaminates. And so there will never be a righteous government or a righteous world established by man. Yet a day is coming when a righteous government shall be upon this earth for 1,000 years, the millennial kingdom. You and I who are saved will not especially have any part with that kingdom. Access to it, because we're redeemed, we've been caught up to be with Christ forever. The millennial kingdom is especially for the Jews, Israel. It's the kingdom promised to the Jews, from the beginnings to Abraham, his earthly people. And one day Israel shall have its place in the millennial kingdom. We shall not dwell on the earth who are saved. Of course, sin will still be here. And we could not look upon sin. We who have glorified bodies, we will be with Jesus. Christ will be King of kings and Lord of lords, the only high potentate over all the earth. He will occupy the throne of David, and David's throne is the throne of the Jews. And so the Jews who have been promised from time immemorial, you see, that they would one day have a righteous kingdom, and you'll remember the apostles, that was the great question to Christ. Lord, they're all Jews. Tell us, when will you establish the kingdom? He said, it is not to you to know the times or the seasons. That it was not at that time his kingdom was to be established. The Jews didn't realize that he would go through the process of death, even though their scriptures had prophesied of it in Isaiah 53 and Zechariah 12, that one day they would look upon him who they had pierced, and they would mourn for him as an only son. Yet the Jews did not see this. He came unto his own, and his own, who were the Jews, received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to be the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. And so he came that he might bring salvation to the world. For God loved not the Jews only. They were the ones he chose to bring forth the Christ. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have after everlasting life. For Jesus said, I came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. And so this is the great message of God. I thought it might be well to just sort of review our position, not review last week. Last week I spoke to you of the first four judgments. I want to speak to you about some other judgments too. But first I thought it would be well to first this morning review where we are in time, where we are as Christians this morning, the position that we hold. And first I might say that you and I are now in the age of grace. There have been ages before. All the ages we know of as man, created by God in his image, are the ages that begin with the age of innocence, Adam and Eve coming into the fall, the age of human government, the age of promise with Abraham, the age of law with Moses, the age of grace. For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we're living here. We won't go back. I don't want to discuss those ages for the moment. Sometime I will. But this age we're living in right now is the age of God's grace. It is the day of God's great love for mankind. It is the day that he has revealed to us the work of his blessed Son, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that Christ Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and that's for you and that's for me. This is the age of God's grace, unmerited favor. He's opened the door wide and let his love flow to all mankind. And the only reason it hasn't swept the earth is because Christians have never lived nor never testified like Christ asked them to. The failure's never been on his side. The failure can never be on God's side. The failure always has to be on man's side. And so we have failed to proclaim the glorious good news of God's salvation. And everyone here this morning only has to look into their own heart, the preacher included, to know how many times we could have testified, but we didn't. Doors wide open. And somehow you don't walk in and you don't testify for the Savior. You understand that you're redeemed and you're saved and you rejoice in it. And yet with all that, even your own little family sometimes still doesn't know what you really believe. And you're nearly afraid to say so. What a terrible thing. How Satan creates this terrible fear in the heart of testimony. You might lose a friend. You might lose a loved one. Well, I want to tell you, I'd rather take that risk than to lose them for eternity, if Christ be true. If Christ be true, you lose them for eternity if you fail to bear your testimony for Jesus Christ. And so we're living right now in the age of grace, God's unmerited favor, salvation to every soul, whoever it may be, boy or girl, adult, mother, father, it doesn't matter. As I said last Sunday, remember, in the first four judgments in Revelation, and then I went to Ezekiel 14 and showed you that those same four judgments practically spoken of in Ezekiel, and God says, though I deliver Noah and Daniel and Job, if there were men of this character, God says, in that, and though I deliver them, I will not deliver their children. Because you can't count on your mom and dad's faith to save you. Every single individual must make sure of their own salvation. You are an individual, and before God, the only thing that a good, godly mother and father give you is privilege. The privilege to hear the gospel sooner than somebody else might hear it. But the responsibility lies upon every single soul here. You're a person to God. You're an individual world. You're alone, daughter, son, I don't care who you are. You are alone in your relationship to God. And the fact that you have a godly mother and father who love Jesus, the only thing it has given you is this wonderful privilege of someone to speak to you about Jesus Christ. Sad to say, there are even mothers who have hardly ever prayed with, talked to their children, or led them to Christ or the Christ life. This is hardly believable in my heart, and yet I know it to be true. And this is the age of grace. Now, we're looking forward, though, as we sit here this morning, remember, we're in the age of grace. But you and I, who love Christ, are not looking forward to wrath, but rather to rapture. We're not looking forward to God's judgment to fall upon us, but we're looking forward to be caught up to be with the Lord in the clouds in the air, and then shall we ever be with the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, it says, we are waiting. To wait, it says, for his Son from heaven, who hath delivered us from the wrath which is to come. So, beloved, we're waiting for Jesus to come, who has delivered us from the wrath which is to come. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the clouds in the air, and then shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise be to God. Hallelujah for what God has promised to those who love Him. This is what I'm looking for. I'm not looking, as someone has well said, for the undertaker, though he may come, but I'm looking for the uppertaker. The one who will take us and catch us up. This is the object of our faith, this Lord Jesus that we love. This is the realities of the Christian life. This is not some, as Paul says, now he says, some of you are vain dreamers and you'd have somehow come around to believe that the Bible is old wives' fables. But this is divine truth. This is that which Christ preached. This is that which gives us a Christian church. This is that which saves the human soul. This is that which gives a dynamic to human life. This is that which gives power to a mother and father. This is that which gives great visions of things to come. Open your eyes, God says, and see what's coming and live in the light of what you know is coming. John says in an epistle, every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as Christ is pure. He says, if you really believe this, the kind of a life you want to lead will be a life of purity, and you'll want to win the battle over the flesh, as I spoke to you from Romans this morning. Through the Spirit he'll crucify the lust and the desires of the flesh and of the mind, which might corrupt us and bring us down deep into despair. This is the Christ we love. We look to rapture. We look to being caught up. That's what the word means. Rapture, caught up. Latin, caught up. We're looking to be caught up. We're living in the age of grace. This is the age where we can be saved. The age where you can repent. Are you lost this morning? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Do you? Each one? Do you? You don't think I'd be up here preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ unless I believed I had something to say for God that would save the human soul, do you? You don't think I'm up here to preach some little things that don't mean anything and sort of say, now be good people and do your best. Be brothers to everybody. All of these things may have their place. All of these things may be very nice, but I'm not here for that purpose. I'm here to so preach Christ that he converts the soul, and out of the new life which Christ gives you, a new creation, you shine with the love of Jesus to all mankind, to the black man and the yellow man and any man. You don't care what color he is. Because Christ says, henceforth shall no man know me after the flesh color, but after the Spirit. And so this is the kind of love that can flow from the heart only when Christ comes in. When I hear of bigotries and hatreds of racial groups, hatred of the Jews, my heart shudders. This has nothing to do with Jesus Christ and the salvation of Jesus Christ and the new life of Jesus Christ. We who are looking to his coming, we who are in the age of grace, given to us in our hands, the scriptures, the means of grace to every soul, what are we doing with it? Privileged people, called of God, redeemed in his blood. And what are we doing, beloved, with this grace that God places in our hearts who have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and can speak to others about the salvation in Jesus Christ? Listen, you wouldn't need me in this pulpit if I can't preach salvation. Anybody can preach to you moralities. Morality has never taken a soul to heaven. It can't. It's not good enough. Because there is nobody 100% pure. And that's what you'd need to get into heaven on your moralities. It's put well in the scripture, he that offendeth in one tittle of the law is guilty of the whole law. God doesn't give you a mark and an average on the Ten Commandments and say you've got a 65, go in. You've got a 70, go in. He that offendeth in one tittle of the law is guilty of the whole law. Condemned. So the only possibility of salvation is in Jesus Christ, our precious Savior, who paid the penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. Christ died for sinners that he might bring us unto God. This was his great work, tremendous work, the power of the Spirit of God descending into the soul, And then it says, "And the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also raise up your mortal body. Therefore, he must dwell in me. Otherwise, I shall never rise except to be judged, and that's it." The Holy Spirit, the power, resurrection from the dead, promised to all who believe. Listen to me, beloved. There are no other secrets of eternal life. No one else has it to give. We have the eternal one who gives it. We're looking for the rapture. We're looking for the coming of the Lord. We're those who say, "Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh." Looking unto that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the Son of God in the clouds of heaven to take us unto himself. This is what you're looking for. If you're a Christian this morning, that's what you're looking for. You're living in the age of grace. But you're not confining your life to the age of grace. You're living for God and the power of the Holy Spirit now, but you're looking to the coming of the Lord. Therefore, your witness for Jesus Christ is powerful. Therefore, your life is what it should be before God. And if it isn't this morning, beloved, get it straightened out. We have no time for frivolities. We have no time for little things. We have no time for gossips. We have no time for tongues to speak, for wickedness, for evil, for sin. We have no time. Because the time is short unto the coming of the Lord. So we're living now in the age of grace, looking unto the glorious appearing, the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians 4th chapter, 1 Thessalonians 1st chapter, and many other portions throughout the Gospels and in the Old Testament, looking for his coming. All the Jews are waiting for the kingdom. But beloved, when we're caught up, the Jews are going to have a terrible time of trial. That's the judgments I began to speak about last week, remember? They're going to have a terrible time of trial, the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, the 70th week of Daniel, 7 years, when all hell shall break forth upon the earth and the judgments of God shall fall upon the earth. Isn't it wonderful to know that if you're a Christian this morning, you've escaped it already? You'll never have to go through the wrath of God. God can't put his son Jesus Christ under his wrath again. He did it once on the cross of Calvary. And in that he died once to sin. In that he liveth unto God. Therefore reckon yourself to be dead to sin and alive to God. He cannot once more put judgment upon his son. And since his son dwells in your heart by faith, and your body is the temple of the living God, to put you into the tribulation and the wrath of God would put the wrath of God upon his own son. He cannot do it because he dwells in me. And so when we've been caught away and we're with Christ, the great tribulation sets in. Israel's great tribulation. How terrible. The Holy Spirit's been removed. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Holy Spirit is not some ephemeral nothing. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is not floating around through the air as nothing. He dwells in the hearts of every believer. When believers are taken out, the salt of the earth, that's what God calls us. He says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." And when God takes the salt out, when he removes every believer, then the barrel will begin to rot. And all earth will be under the terrible power of the great tribulation. Unrestrained sin, rampant. Listen, it's bad enough now. It's bad enough now. You know, I can't think. May I say this? I have often tried to think of the Great Tribulation and the terrible horrors of it. The terrible judgments of God upon the earth as they're poured out. But, beloved, I have to be frank. As I think of it, I look around the world today and I think how terrible it is today. I was told the other day that there are several high schools in this area, from here out to Suffolk. I'm not going to confine it. One of them According to the district attorney's office, 70% of the children are either on marijuana or LSD or drugs. 1,700 teenagers are waiting in Nassau County to be put into drug places to see if they can overcome the habit right now. The district attorney's office cannot take them out of school, there's so many of them. They haven't got place and room to treat them. You ask any of your high school students, you mothers and dads right here this morning, ask them. You can get it in any high school. One of our people here went down to Florida, I don't know whether I mentioned, just 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. Daughter, 21 years of age, they went to a good hotel in Florida. In 8 hours, twice, she was asked to come to a pot party. Twice in 8 hours. Just walking through the hotel lobby. Invite them, come on to a drug party. Think it's not rampant? Well, let me tell you, this is as nothing when the Holy Spirit should be removed and believers taken out of the way. It's hard for me to even conceive of it. The presence of the Holy Spirit on earth now is that which holds back. That's what it says. When he who alloweth, who restraineth, who holdeth back is taken out of the way, then will that wicked one be revealed. You see? He's taken out of the way. He's taken back to heaven itself when the believers go up to be with Jesus Christ. You know, I couldn't help but wonder how well your homework is done. You know, I was thinking this morning, I was up very early, I got up about 10 to 5, which is my usual rising time. And I was been in the Word for 3 hours before Alice, but I won't say that. You'll bet you about that. Gets up. But I wrote down while I was sitting downstairs. I said, I wonder just how much my people remember of what I said last Sunday. Let me just ask simple questions. There are 21 judgments in 3:7 of God in the book of Revelation during tribulation period that I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about the great tribulation. You won't be here. Listen, isn't this wonderful, beloved? Do you love Christ? You won't be here. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be on the panoramas of heaven and not to have to go through that terrible tribulation, that terrible wrath of God coming upon the face of the earth? There are 21 judgments spoken of. Jesus himself, remember, opens the seals. Let us never get any idea but this. He's the only one worthy, it says, to open the book, and he opens the seals. Now, there are 21 judgments, 7 in each judgment. Do you remember the little code I gave you last week, starting with 7 seals? What was the next one? 7 trumpets. S-T, you skip U, and 7 vials, right? You can't go wrong, that's the order. 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 vials. They are in Revelation 6 to 19. Covers most of the book of Revelation. This is the time of great tribulation of which I'm speaking right now. 21 judgments. Terrible, condign judgments, such as you never could conceive of. Unbelievable judgments. We spoke of those last week. Where will the church, Christ's bride, be when these judgments come upon the earth? With Christ, right? Out of the way. With Christ. What is another name that God gives to the great tribulation? Jacob's trouble, right? Israel, see? Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation. Where will the judgments come from? In other words, where will Israel's judgments come from? From heaven. In other words, they're coming down upon the earth. What is the name of the final battle before the establishment of the millennial kingdom? Armageddon. That's pretty good, isn't it? I think nearly everybody could get that. I hear that on television, so it's not something that people wouldn't know, you know. What people shall rule on the earth, and who will be king? Who will rule the people? Israel, of course. And Christ is king, you see. Christ is going to occupy the throne of David. The Jews. Do you remember how many Jews are sealed during the time of great tribulation? How many from each tribe? 12 tribes. How many from each tribe? 12,000. 144,000 Jews are sealed by God and cannot be destroyed and become the great evangelists in the tribulation period, preaching the gospel. You can read that in Revelation 7. So here is this tremendous period of time. And if you turn with me now just for a few minutes to Revelation, I just want to stop here. Beyond this, beyond the time of tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, the establishment of the millennial kingdom, 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, when the Jews who suffered great persecution will rule with him. Oh, we're going to rule with him, but we're not going to be on earth. Because he has to restrain sin with a rod of iron. Sin will still be near. People will still have children. They're going to live a long time. Much longer than you and I live. You know, this fascinated me because I'd read this so often, you know. In Isaiah 65:20, it says, in that day a child shall die at 100 years of age. And I used to think to myself, 100 years of age, how long am I going to live? So I cut this out of, you know, I think This Week magazine. Here's what it says, Dr. Harry Sims, head of Duke University Medical Center, calculates that in the not-too-far-off future, we will have a life with a resistance we now enjoy at the age of 12. And the average lifetime will be, take a guess, 800 years. Head of Duke. 800 years. Beloved, 100's enough on this earth. I keep saying, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. But let me just read you. I had read you the first four judgments now. This is in the time of tribulation. Last week I read them, and we were in the sixth chapter of Revelation. And we look at the eighth verse. For this was the fourth seal that he opened. Remember, seven seal judgments, seven trumpet judgments, seven vial judgments. That's what I'm dealing with. Now here is the eighth verse. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and the beasts of the earth. Do you know what that means? 750 million people would die tomorrow, one-fourth part of the earth's population. There's 3 billion. We don't know of any conflicts of this character. 700. Do you know what it says in another place? And it will take, I'll read this later, it will take, tell me, how many years to bury the dead? 7 years to bury the dead who lie in the streets. And it tells us, as the people went through, they held their noses to escape the stench of the dead who died in the great conflict. 700, and this is the divine word of God. And I'm glad you're saved this morning, if you know Christ. Now notice the next. Now the fifth seal merely tells us that in the first four seals of great judgment, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. This was in the first four seals. And for the testimony which they held, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Great earthquake. The islands. May I say this? Do you know this is exactly the view that you get of the hydrogen bomb when it goes? Do you know that the islands of the sea, they have already, over certain islands, used it and it disappeared? The great cloud that comes up, this is God's atomic power. I'm going to remind you, it comes from God. Sodom and Gomorrah was merely one big atomic bomb, that's all. It was a picture of the latter days. Fire descended from there, from heaven, and devoured them. Science used to look back at Sodom and Gomorrah and say, ridiculous thing. But not today. They say the whole earth is enveloped by flame. It's just a matter of nuclear fission, that's all. And then, gone. But if you read the descriptions of Nagasaki, you read the descriptions of the hydrogen bombs that now they could use, or plutonium bombs which they are now making, they say that it would be unbelievable. And the cloud that would go up would hide the sun completely, and the moon for several days after looked like blood. And islands are moved and mountains are mowed down, and there's nothing left but death and destruction. And God says here that judgment, beloved, will come finally from God. And every island of the sea shall be moved. Notice it. The heavens departed like a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and listen, we talk about our atomic bombs. And I read the other day where if one of the latest weapons they have is to be dropped over 42nd Street, New York City, all of Manhattan, all of Bronx, all of Brooklyn, all of Staten Island, all of Queens, all of Nassau will be ashes with not one breathing soul. And there's enough power in the United States arsenal to destroy the earth 10 times with overkill right now. And then some people sit back and say, oh, how could this be? How could God do that? I want to tell you something. Man won't do it. Men think they will. But 1 Peter tells us, and 2 Peter, that God hath reserved the earth to be destroyed by fire, what? Unto himself. Not by us. So while people tell me that it won't be an accident, that one of the Russians will push a button, and that's the end, I've never worried. Because my God will bring it all ultimately to an end. Listen, aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're saved? God's judgment. This is world is due for judgment, beloved. Let me say it. Any woman who sits here this morning and doesn't believe that doesn't have an ounce of sense in her head. She's afraid to walk out of her house at night onto a dark street. And the only reason you can even go out daytimes, might I remind you, is because we have a police force on the streets to control it. If we're to remove them tomorrow, you women wouldn't walk outside your doors. You'd try to lock them and bar them. You'd do everything. And all the degeneracies of man would be manifest. Homes would be pillaged and raped and destroyed because this is man. Don't tell me about man's higher instincts. According to God's word, man has baser instincts. And unless Christ comes to dwell in the heart, the higher instinct can never be manifested. It's only the Christ in you that allows you to understand what I'm saying this morning. Anyone who listens to the word of God and rebels against it and doesn't understand it, it's simple. The Spirit of God dwelleth not in thy heart. For the Spirit of God giveth the understanding that anything that Jesus says, if Jesus opens the seals of the book and says, here is the judgment, this is Jesus speaking. So, beloved, judge thyself. Make sure you're saved this morning. Oh, don't leave here, beloved, if I can say this, don't leave here without Christ as your personal Savior. Don't. Time is too short. Time is too short. Make sure you're saved. Delay and procrastination. This is the great flaw of mankind. God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You can't say tomorrow, I'll do this and I'll do that. You don't know if you'll be here tomorrow.
Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let us pray.
Father, your word is tremendous. You're so good to us, Father, to reveal everything to us. Of course, we recognize the world would never understand this. We don't run outside and tell the world about Christ is going to do. This is only for the household of faith, so we understand what's happening, that the course of history has purpose, that wicked men control the earth right now. We don't have to look far. We hardly have to get outside of local governments before we fully understand this. We only have to look a little distance to see that there's a godless society in control. It may be that some of the people still love our Lord Jesus Christ, but governments are in the control of godless men. We remember Jesus says, you are of your father the devil, and he is the god of this world. Now, Lord, I believe you with all my heart. And I pray that this people believe thee with all their hearts. For salvation is in thee and thee alone. Thou hast manifested thyself as risen from the dead. And if you were not risen from the dead, our faith would be vain and we would yet be in our sins. But Lord, thou hast redeemed us. O God, how I pray this morning that someone might say yes to the Lord Jesus and truly come to Christ in their hearts. Lord, I'll not ask for a show of hands. This is a heart decision. May heart say, oh, Lord, when we hear thy word, it sears our hearts beyond the comprehension that we even can conceive of. We understand that there has to be a judgment coming. Lord, how we pray this morning that you'd undertake for souls. Pray, Lord, that you'd bless souls. And above all else, that they would truly love Christ as personal Savior. Father, put your hand upon every heart. Touch them. May the Spirit of God speak to them. May they remember that I have quoted the Word of God. Not passed again. I have no doctrines of my own. These are the doctrines of the Bible we claim to love and the word that converts us. So, Father, touch hearts, and if there be any without Christ, O Lord, touch them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.